Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
So today, it's got to be a good day. Today, it's gonna be a good day. Today, it's gonna be a good day.
It's 33 and change at the hour. Sometimes I wait to do sports until everybody is here. McFadden's not here during this hour. Jennifer Horne is and Ken Kessler is.
It's okay. I can do sports, Dougie.
The beginning of the baseball season and the end of the NCAA national title season. Wisconsin loses to Duke. Duke
came back at the very end because Wisconsin was winning and leading throughout the game, but then it just got away from them.
The coach did not like the refs, apparently.
Yeah, Wisconsin. That's what everybody was saying. Bad call, bad call, bad call.
Right. So Duke won 68-63 over Wisconsin. But wasn't the favorite Kansas supposed to be Kansas the winner?
Kentucky.
I mean, Kentucky, another one of those K's. All those KKK.
Oop, careful.
Oh, who said that? All right. So, I have a 2020 news quiz question. Who is Ernest Moniz?
I know.
Wait a minute.
You thought you could stump me.
Well, I don't know if I was thinking specifically about you.
He has terrible hair.
He has bad hair. Okay,
really,
well, that may be. That does not describe what he does, however.
No.
So, let's leave that to the audience. All right, and then you can have all the fun you'd like with his hair afterwards. Who is Ernest Moniz, and why would we be talking about him on a radio program like this? That's probably a very good question.
That's a great question.
Who is Ernest Moniz, and why would we be talking about him? Here's something else that I think is appropriate. Kenny may want to weigh in on this. I have become extraordinarily tired, maybe isn't the what word captures my feeling about all the sexual assaults that are taking place on campuses around the country, and not even on campuses, just the sexual assaults, period, that have become standard fare. They've become way too acceptable, and I don't know why I'm waking up to this at this point in time, but I know it. I feel like, you know, how I am passionate about the football stuff. There are three or four things. And sometimes these things are very, depending on what's going on, that I get very passionate about. This thing has begun to disturb me. The more I find out about how much this is going on, not just, again, on college campuses, and people can say, well, you're so naive, goes on at work all the time, boss takes advantage of underling. It doesn't really make any difference to me where these events take place. The fact that they are taking place to the extent that they are is what's bothering me. And so we have the folks who are going to sue the Rolling Stone.
They should, I think.
Of course they should. Absolutely. The fraternity that was supposedly responsible for the sexual assault of this woman.
Right. Which, by the way, the only victim in this case turned out to be the fraternity because there was never anything that happened.
Yeah, right. So they're going to sue the Rolling Stone. That's appropriate. But you see what happens, excuse me, under this scenario, what I'm concerned about is that the real problem gets swept under the rug.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, it is hard enough for women or men, for that matter, to come forward when they're the victim of sexual abuse. How many times do you hear about these kids at college campuses who had too much to drink? They're taken, they're taken advantage of. Yeah. And then they're embarrassed when they wake up in the morning. They don't know exactly what happened. So they just go home and they shower and they just start going on with their daily life with this huge amount of shame. Mm. This article did not do those people any favors.
For those of you who didn't hear, the Rolling Stone has retracted its discredited rape story. Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism called the magazine's erroneous story of alleged rape connected to the University of Virginia fraternity a failure of reporting, a failure of editing, a failure of fact-checking, a failure on every level. So now they're going to sue the Rolling Stone, and they should. I hope they
sometimes get... I think these reporters, especially for a publication like Rolling Stone, which has been struggling, I'm thinking as of late, they look for this narrative, this story that sounds good, and then when they get it, they're like, well, let's just go with it. We got, you know, we got what we need to get attention. I mean,
well, those are the old days when you didn't have a lot of fact checking, or you didn't have a lot of people standing in the way of pretty much your saying or printing anything that you wanted to. And that's okay if it's a byline or if it's an op-ed piece or something. You know, if someone took off after this fraternity in an op-ed piece, it would be different than the circumstances that present themselves here. I'm just this stuff just so bothers me. And it ought to bother everybody, it seems to me. 888-3... Go ahead, Kenny. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I don't see how, I don't understand how no one at Rolling Stone has lost their job over this.
That's another question. And that they aren't. I mean, there's no plans that anybody will lose their job.
Okay, so here's another angle on this. Thank you for bringing this to our, I was thinking this yesterday. Why aren't there protests outside of the Rolling Stone? Everybody protested Rush Limbaugh when he said what he did about Sandra Fluke. They protested radio. Where is Media Matters on this one? How come Media Matters isn't outside the offices of the Rolling Stone protesting, or better yet, going to their advertisers, pick up the Rolling Stone, see who their advertisers are, and boycott them? Where are these people when it comes to something that is, I was going to say important. I mean, what Limbaugh said about Sandra Fluke was important, but this is more important, frankly, because this is actionable. What Limbaugh said about Sandra Fluke was stupid. But what went on here at the hands of the Rolling Stone was actionable, and there is a big difference. And yet Media Matters and some of these other phony baloney groups, because they have an advocacy position, which they're entitled to have for sure in America, but they need to get called out on this. And
if
so does every other advocacy group. Why are they not? Yes, that's a perfect way of putting it, Jennifer. It's their narrative. So why are they not protesting? They show themselves for the phony four-flushers that they are. Because this is a perfect example of the media gone sour. And if media does matter, as they say it does through their name, then it matters what goes on, who supports the Rolling Stone. And if I were an advertiser, frankly, in Rolling Stone, I'd be probably pulling myself out of there, maybe not permanently, but for a while, to show my displeasure with this sort of thing. The Rolling Stone really doesn't have any raison d'etre anymore anyway, does it? What does it do? What does it provide that you can't get someplace else?
I just know that they were giving me a free subscription, so I figure if somebody starts sending you their magazine, they're desperate for circulation.
Right.
I don't know.
Does it say influencer on it?
I don't even know. It says my name.
Adam Levine had some frightening over-enthusiastic fans during a concert at the Honda Center.
Uh-oh.
A screaming female fan ran onto the stage to give him a hug. He handled the situation well, pushing the girl away, and then he decided that he would embrace her to a certain extent.
Yeah, you got to hug her. When you see that there's no knife in her hand, you should just hug her.
Right. Well, I could see where you could get frightened. Being like that, going to that concert that I did, a month or so ago, February, the end of February, the Donnie and Marie thing in Las Vegas.
A lot of women rushing the stage at Donnie and Marie.
Well, they were out there. Not too many of them, though, as it turned. But this is a tense sort of a thing. I would be upset about it, a little concerned about it. All right, we got a winner. We have somebody with a 2020 News Quiz question answer. Kara, I don't have a screen in front of me, so I don't know. Really, nobody knows who it is?
It's a tough one.
I will tell you who it is in a moment here on Good Day.
Today on App Check, Desktop Connect will discover all the computers on your network, Windows or Mac, then give you access to their desktops to launch applications. $15. Desktop Connect. It's a hit.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn. What's the recipe for big success? Let's mix up a shake.
The first ingredient is time. The other ingredients all really depend on it. Don't waste time because you won't be able to get more until tomorrow.
The second ingredient is money. How much money do you need?
It's a matter of individual taste. Some people like a lot, others are happy with just a little.
Chefs balance ingredients like sweet and sour. The next two ingredients, work and play, are like that. The more work you put in, the less play, and vice versa.
The final ingredient is growth. The more growth you put into the recipe, the faster it all mixes together. You can't get enough growth, so be generous with it.
Now blend it all together for your big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This track and field star won 3 gold medals and 2 bronze at the 2000 Summer Olympics, but she was stripped of them all after admitting to using performance-enhancing drugs.
A time of 10.75. What superb sprinting by Marion Jones.
So where is Marion Jones now? Marion served 6 months in jail in 2008 for committing check fraud and for lying about her use of PEDs under oath. She appeared on the show Life After on the TV One network and recently sat down with Oprah Winfrey to discuss her highs and lows and what it was like to tell her children about going to prison.
I made poor choice, and that at that point satisfied their curiosity. I hope one day when people remember me, that's at the end of my name, there's a dot, 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 because the story continues. It doesn't end when you make a mistake.
Here's hoping Marion stays on the right track. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here, up for a job interview. Of course, you want to make a great impression, but there's one article of clothing you may have forgotten. It's the last thing interviewers notice about you, and it speaks volumes. Here's the science of it. During a job interview, we're on our best behavior. We watch every word we say. We put our best foot forward, and of course, we dress for success. But there's one article of clothing that may confirm or deny everything you've said.
Day.
It's your shoes, and most interviewers check them out as you're walking out the door. What's the cheap psychological trick? Don't forget your shoes. If they're clean and polished, they add a touch of confirmation that you pay attention to detail and may just tip the scale in your favor. Got a question? Email me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
All right, names in the news today. Ernest Moniz. I asked you who he was. He is the National Energy Secretary, who has been, because he's a nuclear physicist, he has been on the front line in the discussion with Iran as to how to handle the nuclear weaponry that's there.
Yes. And that's the reason I knew him, Dougie, because there's always this guy sitting next to John Kerry with terrible hair. And so I had to look him up, and it was this guy.
So he maintains, Kenny, that the agreement would block all Iranian pathways to a nuclear weapon. How do you keep the Iranians from buying the stuff? It keeps them from building one, but how do you keep them from buying one? I don't see that in here. Of course, I haven't read the whole thing. I should
Neither
run for Congress.
You guys have that in common. They'll get to it. Right after that, James
Patterson. Am I missing something here? How do you keep them from going out and buying it? Unless I'm missing something here.
It's all based on trust, and that's what people are upset about.
Right.
How do you keep any country or any organization from buying them?
How do you keep them down on the farm after they've seen the nukes? That's the big question. Here's another name in the news, Jeremy Trentleman. Do you know who Jeremy Trentleman is?
No.
Father in Utah, who expressed his playful side by building a massive cardboard box fort in the yard for his children. He's been dealing with a serious bit of killjoy. His city has warned him to disassemble the fort or face fines.
Why?
Listen to this. Let me. If you didn't get it the first time around, here's a father who's having fun with his children. He builds a huge cardboard box fort for the children in his family and in his neighborhood to play in. The city of Ogden, Utah, where he lives, somebody from the building department was called by one of this guy's neighbors.
Wasn't up to
saying
code.
He had an illegal structure on his property. The building department went to his house and said, idiots. You must take this down. I would have chased them out of the yard with a knife.
It's cardboard.
My God.
Nobody's living there.
We are gone. We've gone bananas in this country. What in the name of God would force anybody or what kind of common sense thinking would lead you to believe that you needed to send some official to this guy's house to take down the box fort because he doesn't have a building permit? Screw you. Oh, my God.
It's a state of affairs. The government not wanting to help you, working against you.
That's all it is. It's us against us. Oh, beyond the beyond. Okay.
Cardboard.
Now, here's another bit of food for thought. You know that I like Wendy Williams, daytime TV program.
Mm-hmm.
She always is answering questions from the audience about important events that are going on. Here, she answers a question about firing a colleague that is a friend.
I'm on vacation. My boss texted me and said I need to terminate a colleague that I became friends with. And we're good friends. So my advice to you is, do I terminate her or do I tell him that I can't do it? Help me. I go back to work Friday.
You know I'm a straight shooter. I'm not going to BS you. That's what you get for making such good friends on the job. Now, I'm sorry, your friend is not paying your bills, and if you don't do it, your boss is going to see you as weak, and you'll be next. So we get back to Chicago, and you fire that girl, and let the chips fall where they may, okay?
What do you think of that advice, Jen?
That's exactly what I would have said. You have to. Yeah. It's your job, unless you don't care about your job, and then keep your friend and go home.
Right. Kenny?
Yeah. I'm with Jennifer.
There.
Yeah.
Right. You are with Jennifer, and then you're both fired.
Yeah, so Kenny, you have to fire Jennifer by Thursday. Bye-bye.
Right, yeah.